Chapter 20. The community center parking lot was empty, the building locked. They peeked through the windows but couldn't see anyone inside.
"Anyone have their card handy?"
Nance asked.
"I do."
Helen stepped forward to slide her plastic card through the reader. The automatic doors hissed open and they walked inside. The place was quiet and still.
"I wonder where Sylvia is," Ida said.
"Maybe she went out for an errand," Ruth suggested.
"Must be difficult now, with no president. It's really just the president and treasurer who come to the offices. And with one person, I imagine Sylvia can't be here all the time."
Ida shrugged.
"It's not necessary anyway. Ever since we voted to get rid of having a security person all the time, we can use our cards to get in."
"Yeah, but Helen didn't like it much."
"I think she was sweet on that guy, Sam, who used to come on Tuesday and Thursday."
"I was not."
Helen's voice was sharp with conviction, but the wistful glance she shot toward the closed security door said otherwise. Ida looked in through the glass window on top of the door, getting close to the glass and cupping her hands around her eyes.
"Too bad they were too cheap to keep up with the security tapes. Look at all these monitors."
She gestured toward the window, and Lexi peered inside. The room was dimly lit. Several monitors lined a small desk, green lights glowing on the lower left to indicate they were on. The monitors and cameras worked. They just didn't record what was happening. If someone wanted to, they could sit in the room and watch what was going on in different areas of the center in real time. Too bad no one was sitting there the night Mary was killed. The room was only about 10 by 10. Beige metal filing cabinets lined one wall. A gray metal desk hulked in the middle. One wall contained a giant corkboard that must have been left over from the security guard days. It still had a schedule tacked up, along with various index cards, an envelope with what looked like time cards, a key dangling from a green ribbon, several key cards like the kind Helen had used to open the door, and the old badges of the former security guards, including Sam, the one Helen had been interested in.
"Security footage and on-site guards are very expensive."
Helen had come to stand beside Lexi and was also looking into the room, her eyes scanning the contents and coming to rest on Sam's badge.
"The community center can only afford so much. You don't want your homeowners' association fees to go up now, do you?"
"I suppose not.
And besides, nothing ever really happens where we needed to review the footage," Helen added.
"Yeah, until now, right, Mona?"
Ida turned around when Nance didn't answer.
"Mona?"
Nance wasn't paying attention to the conversation. She'd stepped past the foyer into the main function room, where they'd set up the tables for the party. They joined her in the room. She stood in the center, a quizzical look on her face.
"Something wrong?" Lexi asked.
Nance held up a finger, and Lexi, Ruth, Ida, and Helen exchanged a raised brow glance. They followed her as she walked to the area where they'd set up the bar, checked her watch, spun on her heel, and walked to the hallway before checking her watch again.
"It's just the timing. How did the killer get down the hallway without being seen? There's no exit down at the end where the offices are."
Nance tapped her lips with her index finger.
"But I have an idea."
They followed Nance down the hall to the pie room. The police had finished processing the room. The long tables Lexi had set up for the contest were gone, as were the stained white linen tablecloths.
No crime scene tape or fingerprint dust was present to remind anyone that a murder had been committed here.
Mona, the police have gone over this room a dozen times. I'm pretty sure Jack knows what he's doing. You're not going to find anything that he didn't find, Ida said.
And we scoured it ourselves that very day, Helen added.
Nan stared at the windows. She had that look on her face, like a beagle on the scent of a fox. When she got that look, it usually meant that she was onto something. She marched over to one of the windows and tugged. It didn't budge.
Mona, what are you doing? You know we keep these locked up tight.
Ida tugged on the window next to her to prove her point, and it slid up a half inch. She glanced down at it.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Aha! Just as I thought, Nan said. You see, sometimes the clue isn't something you find lying around. It's something that's not the norm, like the window. Normally, Mary was a stickler for them being locked.
That's true, Lexi said. I wanted to crack them to cool the pies near the window. Even though it's hot out, the breeze and fresh air add to the taste somehow. But she wouldn't let me open them. Nance nodded.
Of course. And didn't Jack say he didn't know how the pies could cool despite the hot air outside? Why would he say that if they weren't in the open window? The center is air-conditioned.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Ruth asked.
That someone deliberately opened that window to escape?
Nance asked.
Yes.
Lexi pushed the cracked window higher to look out.
Well, whoever it was knocked the screen out, too. It's lying on the ground there in the grass.
So, Mary's killer tried to escape fast and leave through the window to avoid being seen. He knocked out the screen, climbed through, then drew the curtains and shut the window behind him.
Except he couldn't shut it all the way because his fingers were in the way. Lexi stood back and looked at the curtains.
I think I might have even seen the curtains moving when I found Mary. But then I was so startled by the body, I didn't think twice.
Either the killer must have forgotten to replace the screen, or they didn't have time because Lexi and Cassie came in and discovered Mary's body, Ida said.
Nance walked to the area where Mary's body had been, then pantomimed the motions the killer would have taken, timing it on her watch as she went.
The killer clonked Mary on the head with a trophy which Mary had with her. She frowned. Lexi, when you first saw Mary's body, was there a sign of struggle? Did it look as if she'd fought back?
No, she was face down in a blueberry pie, Lexi said. Then, when I tapped her shoulder, she fell over onto the floor. Now that I think about it, it was weird that she was sitting down, right? I mean, why would she be? The contest hadn't started yet, and it was dark in here.
Right, Nan stepped back. So I'm guessing the murderer killed her, then put her in the chair after he hit her over the head, perhaps to buy time. Did Jack mention that?
Lexi frowned.
No.
Surely the police would know if the body was moved,
Ruth said.
Of course they would. But sometimes Jack doesn't let everything out. Not even to us, apparently.
Nan sighed.
I suppose we can't expect him to. He can't risk certain things getting out to the public, or it might prevent them from tripping the killer up in an interrogation. But that's okay. We don't need to know everything. We can still solve this case.
Lexi was still frowning. She felt a bit betrayed that Jack hadn't told her. Then again, Nance was right, and she supposed it didn't matter to their civilian investigation if they knew the body had been moved. Still, it felt like a lie, and it stung. Lexi pushed those feelings aside. This wasn't personal. It was Jack's job, and catching a killer was at stake. Besides, Jack had shared more than ever with her on this case.
Okay, but if we're going with the book as motive, then the killer would have had to get the key from around Mary's neck, run to the office, get the book from the safe, run back, and escape through the window before anyone saw, and before Lexi and Cassie arrived.
Would he have had time? Ruth asked. Let's find out.
Nance followed the path from where Mary's body had been found, across the hall to Mary's office. Ruth was beside her, timing it all. The rest of them tagged along. Mary's office wasn't the tidy place it had been when they'd first visited. Apparently, Sylvia had taken over, and if the condition of her own office was any indication, she wasn't nearly as neat as Mary had been. Papers were scattered. One stack in particular leaned askew, precariously close to the edge, a blue ribbon sticking out from beneath. Apparently, now with Mary gone, no one was overly worried about leaving the keys lying around.
So, the killer must have known Mary wore the key around her neck. Wouldn't take but a second to get that as he put her body in the chair. He raced from the pie room to the office, unlocked the safe, took the book, closed the safe, ran back to the pie room, and climbed out the window.
Nance raced forward once more, the rest of the ladies hurrying behind her.
If it was Lorelei Summers, she'd have had to run around to the front door to meet Sylvia.
She glanced at Ruth, who clicked the button on her stopwatch.
7 minutes? Might be enough time, if she'd managed to hit Mary hard enough with the first blow of that trophy to kill her immediately.
And whoever it was just sauntered in the front door like nothing happened? Lexi asked.
Good question.
Helen raised a brow.
That might explain why Lorelei was helping Sylvia with the bibs near the front. She just snuck in the front door.
The killer must have hidden the book, too, because no one mentioned seeing it inside the community center again. Maybe we should check outside. It could be hidden in the bushes somewhere,
Ida said.
I doubt it would still be there,
Nan said.
The value of a book decreases dramatically if it has damage. The killer wouldn't want it exposed to the elements. He probably stashed it somewhere inside.
Ida snorted.
Like where?
The closet, Nan said.
Dottie said she saw Howard rooting around in there right before Lexi made the announcement about the contest. Perhaps he wasn't looking for something. He might have been hiding something.
The closet is right next to the front door, Ruth pointed out.
Wait, so now you think Howard is the killer?
Helen asked.
Haven't ruled him out yet, Ida said, and he couldn't easily climb out the window.
Exactly. Nance narrowed her gaze.
It still feels like we're missing a piece of the puzzle here, though. Now that we know more, let's run through the whole thing from start to finish. Ida, you can be the one to climb out the window, just like the killer did.
Before they could begin, a voice from the hallway startled them.
Excuse me, ladies. I'm here to confess to the murder of Mary Archer.